Joy, I made the green spaghetti and
Bitch, how was it? Oh my God.
I think I well I okay. So I was supposed to get cream cheese and sour cream, but I got two cream cheeses, which I don't know how that happened because
Oh.
they're not even the same thing, but whatever. So it was a little bit more spicy than I was prepared for, but Eric made some
Oh.
like crispy, he pan fried some chicken with it, so I mean I ate it. I think it was decent. It wasn't as good as yours, but I tried.
I think it's because Crystal, I was telling Anna when I was texting her the recipe, I was like, I'm not really putting like this many ounces of whatever. I'm just like, that looks like a good amount. Or
That
I'll
does not
taste
work for me.
it and I'll taste it and I'll be like, okay, that's spicy enough. Or no, it needs more cheese or whatever.
And then, of course, when I like want to do something, I forget like how to measure, how to cook pasta. I'm like, what do I do? What the fuck? What's wrong? I just can't do anything. It's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. I think
So
the
I'm
key
gonna
is
start
just like
panicking that you can do it.
the consistency of the sauce. Like it can't be too thick. Like you can't put too much cream cheese because then it'll be too thick. So that's why you need sour cream to kind of like water it down a little bit, or the pasta water, whatever.
I definitely next time I am gonna try it again, because I have so much cream cheese now. I'm gonna try it again and maybe this time actually use sour cream, and maybe rinse the peppers. I don't know.
What do you mean? When are
Well,
you
because I
like?
scraped them and I think some seeds were still in there.
Oh yeah, you
So
need to rinse the
yeah, I
peppers.
didn't
Yeah,
do that,
after
so
you, so
whoopsie.
you de-seed them and then you rinse them. Sorry, I forgot. My bad. I forgot.
No, I should be able to see seeds and take them out. That's on me. That's on my brain. But again, when I had to do something, I'm like, how do I do stuff? What are my
Was
hands?
like,
Why do I want to see seeds?
when I cook, I'm just like, oh, that looks right. This looks okay.
That's the
That
vibe that
tastes
I wish I
good.
could do, but I literally can't. I don't know how
You're
to do
coming
that.
from a baking background. Like,
I really
yeah, and
want that life.
I don't bake because I can't
Yeah.
do that's too much structure. I can't follow. Then I'm like, let me
Like,
just
you
throw
see
some
these
more on
cards
there. And
going
then it
everywhere?
fucks
That's
up.
what my brain is like. See that?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I'm sure I could bake if I really, really tried, but it's hard because that's not my natural instinct is not to be like, let me measure exactly the teaspoon and the millimeter of the blah blah blah.
And of
I'm just
course, so
like,
I'm like
this
making the
looks like
sauce, and
enough
I'm like,
cheese.
this is trash. It's not great. I'm throwing it away. It's not enough. It's not, Eric's like, it's just fine. Just pour it on the spinach. Just pour it on the spaghetti. We'll figure it out. I was like, oh, but it's not gonna. And I was like, oh, that's actually okay.
It's all right. Look, you did it. It was a little spicy, but you survived and you ate it. So,
And mom was like, is it too spicy? I was like, yeah, mom, but I made this. I'm gonna eat it. So I'm just gonna have to suffer through it.
yeah, I think the sour cream really helps with that
For
too.
sure.
And definitely to wash them before you cook
And then mom said
them.
next time too, because she has a fire stove. A fire stove? Is that
Oh, the
once?
gas stove.
A gas stove, thank you, not a fire
Yes,
stove.
roast them.
To roast them. And I was like, ooh, that would be better. So,
Yeah,
because
so that's how my Thea does it. That but we like
that
when
makes
we
sense.
lived together, I didn't have a gas stove, so I
Well,
just threw it
yeah,
in the oven.
exactly. I've
So
never had one. I only have it here. And she's got like the fire that comes out.
it's
So.
perfect, actually. I
And
should
then
make it
she,
here.
her, I don't know if you've seen her oven, but it, or her stove, but it's really big. The grates, or whatever that's called.
The
The
grates?
grates? But yeah, they're really big. And so, can roast a lot of things on there. So I'll do that next time.
Okay, so now you know. At least the tester is you got through the tester.
Yeah, the first pancake is done.
Yeah, but it's a whole batch of pasta for your family.
They like it though, they're eating it.
That's
So
good. Plus,
they're
they can
lying. They're
handle more
lying to me,
spicy than
whatever.
you can, right?
Well, they
So
would. My mom would lie to me. She would not eat it if she didn't like it. So
that's true.
she goes, oh, I'm like, okay, that means legit. Okay. Anyways, stupid.
Okay, folks, welcome back. We're here. We're talking in another episode of our Oscar Rewind series. We're looking back, sorry, at the 2010 Best Pictures and giving our thoughts and perspective on The Parking Lot. I'm your host, Anna.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Joy.
And today, sorry, we're talking about a serious man. Larry Gopnik, a Midwestern physics teacher, watches his life unravel after multiple sudden incidents. Through seeking meaning and answers amidst his turmoils, he seems to keep sinking. A Serious Man was nominated for 2 Oscars, Best Picture, and Original Screenplay for the Coen Brothers. This is A Serious Man. For a split second, I forgot it was my intro, and I had to write that real quick. Sorry about that. What did we think? Was this our first watch for everybody? I think it was.
First watch. First time listener, first watch.
Yeah, first time caller.
Yeah.
Crystal? Same. I think she said, yeah, same. She muted Hello. Herself.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, first timer.
Same. I didn't know what to expect going into this movie. I had no idea what it was about. I knew it was Michael Stuhlbarg, who I love.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie further cemented that I think he's one of the greatest working actors today. I really do think that he can do just about anything. Yeah, this was a different vibe, this movie.
You know, after watching it, I think, what's it called? What was the Oscar Isaac one where he's a musician?
Inside Llewyn Davis.
Was that also the Coen Brothers?
See? Yes.
Okay. So now having seen more than one of their films, I understand what they're about. And I understand that it might not be for me. It's like, I get it. It's like amusing on life. It's like existential, and there's a like the main person is like in crisis about their life, and all the shit keeps happening to them, which is interesting. But I guess in this moment in time, I'm not necessarily like vibing with it. Like, I get it, and it looks nice and it's done well, but it's not, I don't know, it just wasn't hitting for me.
I think I agree. Like, I almost was like, did I not get it? Like, maybe my brain was trying to make more of it than it actually was. Mm-hmm. Like, to read into it more. But, I mean, I like True Grit. Maybe because that was an adaptation, it was better. But Inside Llewyn Davis, I really liked mainly because of the whole aspect of music and Oscar Isaac. First time I saw him, I was like, this guy. I like Carey Mulligan, my favorite actress ever, is in it. So I don't know. I'm trying to think if I actually like that movie for what it was or for the other parts that weren't the Coen Brothers. I can't really remember. Like you said, like I get what they're trying to do. And I don't know. I don't hate it. I definitely don't hate it. But I just don't think it makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I agree with everything you guys have said. This, I was kind of bored watching it, and then afterwards I was like, I guess I understand it, but did I really understand? Am I missing something? And I think that was also part of, that's kind of the purpose of the film.
Yeah.
Like, the beginning had little relevance on the rest of the film. And I think for the whole film, I kept trying to piece it together. Like, that was supposed to fit.
Yeah.
But I ended up looking up a YouTube video because I was like, I need a little bit of insight on this because it's not clicking. So the YouTube channel is NerdWriter1, and the video is called A Serious Man, Can Life Be Understood? And it was a quick, like, 7 to 9 minute video of him talking about breaking down the film, and it helped immensely.
Mm.
You know, it's Gopnik is saying, like, I didn't do anything throughout the entire film. All this stuff is happening to him, and I didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. And this movie is about how inaction also has consequences, as much as action has consequences. And then he talks about, like, the him trying to interpret what's happening to him with the rabbis. And the first rabbi is talking about perspective, and the second rabbi is talking about the inscrutability of God's plan. And the third is God's silence in the midst of trouble. And I was like, okay, when you now I get a better understanding of this film, but I had to go elsewhere to find it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I struggle on whether I like the fact that you have to do some homework for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I do like that, especially if I'm interested and I want to learn no more. So, and I think the problem was for me is we've talked a little bit about, you know, our relationship with religion and things. And mm-hmm. I just kept getting frustrated with, like, these guys clearly aren't helping you, guy. Get away from them. The church is not helping you. And so I think it could have been an interest. I think I was getting frustrated. So I was like, my brain is wanting to tune it off because I was like, listen to me. They're not great. And also, I think the parts of it that were interesting, they didn't elaborate on. Like, the opening scene, I thought was great. Yeah. It was shot beautifully. Roger Deakins, love that man. Deakins Hive up in here. Especially that first shot, of the overhead shot of the snowy town, or him and the horse are walking in to the town. Beautiful. And then I thought, oh, wait, is this a scary movie? Because I was like, who's at the door? I'm terrified. Oh, no. And then, like you said, Anna, like, it never brought up again. And I thought, okay, is this going to, like, feed into, like, they're going to tell the story later on, like, in church or something or whatever. But they never brought it up. And then the whole story about the Hebrew and the teeth, I was like, I don't know what that's about. That's crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, it's just Hebrew. Whatever. I didn't even ask questions. I'm like, why didn't you ask questions? I don't know. There was interesting things in there, but they elaborate on things that were not interesting.
Right. To me. I thought it was going to be revealed that he was their descendant of the people from the beginning.
Yeah,
and, like, this
that
is
makes
the
sense.
Punishment for doing what they did. Not the case, but that's cool.
I feel like there was, like, loose threads kind of everywhere where, like, there's more, there's, like, some, there's just, like, questions that could have been answered. And I get that, like, maybe that's what I got from it is just, like, the banality of life, especially if you're going through it and, like, he's, like, trying to absolve himself of responsibility, being, like, everything's happening to me and I'm not really doing anything. So, like, kind of, like, I'm the victim here, but also, like, what's going on? Like, really, he's, like, confused with his life. But then, like, he's not, I don't think he's really, like, stepping in and doing anything one way or the other. I don't know. It's weird. It's, like, I've seen, and I was trying to think of, so I was trying to figure out, because it wasn't necessarily, like, victim complex, like, woe is me, everything's happening to me. Not necessarily, because, like, he wasn't as, like, he was boo-hooing to himself and to the rabbis occasionally, but, like, it wasn't, like, I'm a victim. But I was trying to figure out, and I was thinking about it, and I still can't get, like, a movie in my head of, like, what is a movie where we see this happen to a character? I don't know if you guys can help me out with this. What's a movie where we see this happen to a character where they're, like, things are happening to them, and they don't really know what to do, and they just end up in this, like, huge existential crisis?
Other than my brain goes blank. Davis, I'm not sure.
Yeah, because I was, like, it just feels like Inside Llewyn Davis, where, like, things are happening to him as a result of him probably not
but
doing
even then, I feel
things.
Like, when Davis, he kind of, like, came to resolve, like, you know, I have to deal with my partner's grief, or the grief from losing my partner. Like, I have to move on from this. That was about grief. So that felt like a purposeful, I guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas this kind of felt like he's sad and his life sucks, but he's proud of his son and then didn't. Like, it didn't feel like a story, really.
And maybe more like, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Like, is it almost like slice of lifey, but, like, without being too, like,
probably.
I don't know. Like,
I don't want to speak out of turn, but I know I've often heard, I think where a lot of it got lost on me is I am very uneducated about the Jewish religion, and I feel like there's a lot of stuff here that would have made more sense had I been more knowledgeable. But I know oftentimes, like, people talk about, like, the trauma of growing up in the Catholic Church and, like, the generational trauma we have of being Catholics. And I know something similar has been said about growing up in the Jewish faith and, like, you have the history of your people. And so I kind of equated it to that, like, oh, he's suffering because of, like, it's supposed to be some kind of allegory to that.
What's that song, Because We Suffered or something?
Oh, my God, my favorite song.
Literally. And also, it can be that whole trauma, religious trauma, can be attributed to any religion, really. Yeah. But I think, like, they didn't go anywhere with that. Like, it could have been a great conversation of, like, he's down in the dumps and he needs guidance and they're not providing what he needs. Like, or what he thinks is supposed to be the guidance is not. Like, it could have been a great conversation, but they didn't do anything with it.
I kind of balanced on the line of, is this supposed to be more comical or more serious? Or, like, it didn't know where it wanted to land. And I think that was purposeful. I think it wanted to be in this weird middle lane, but to me, it just felt unsettled.
Yeah, it needed a point of view. It didn't have a clear point of view. To me, I feel like it needed to be more streamlined.
And maybe that's, like, the point of the movie, because he's fucking lost. He doesn't know what to do, and, like, his supposed leaders don't know how to advise him, or they all give him advice that, like, doesn't really fit to his situation. Maybe that's just the whole thing.
I hate that. Like, we've talked about this in other things. Like, that's the point. Like, I don't know. I just feel like that's not that you're making excuses for it, Joy, but, like, if that's your point of your movie, then make it clearer. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I shouldn't have, I don't know. But then I like that I'm not spoon-fed either. So I'm really on the fence about it, because, like, I want to be watching something and engage and understand. Yeah. But also, I like to be challenged at the same time. So this one's like a real head scratcher to me, because I don't know how to feel good or bad.
The only for sure thing I felt was Michael Stuhlbarg gave a fantastic performance.
Well, like, no crumbs. Like, he's so good, no matter what it is.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yeah.
I like the acting performances, even from, like, the supporting actors, like, the whole cast, the cast as a whole. But I really like, why am I stupid? I didn't even see that it was Roger Deakins. My God, what's wrong with me? But I really like how the people were shot. And to me, knowing now that it's Roger Deakins, it brings such a different perspective to it. Because I was like, I was sitting there watching the whole thing and I was like, I really love how these people look. And how, like, they're framed and aesthetically how they fit in the frame. The proportion of the film was really nice. And everything, even though it was, like, in the, what is this, the 60s, the 70s, whatever. It was very crisp and it was very clear. And even though, like, there's, you know, set dressing and decorating and whatever, it felt very focused in that. In the way it was shot and in the production design. So I like that both the cinematography and the set decoration, whatever, are focused on the characters. They're not as distracting. Like, you can tell it's in the late 60s, early 70s, but it's not in a distracting way. Like, you're more focused on the characters. Which is also why it can be kind of frustrating, because I'm like, there's so much happening, like, there's all these people, and it's, like, chaos, and, like, the wife is feeling intensely, and the kids are feeling intensely, and the brother is having a breakdown, and, like, he's having a time. But, like, where, I don't know,
it feels lived in to me. It feels, like real,
yes.
Like, grounded in reality.
Yeah, but it also feels like character soup, like, there's just a lot... going on, and we got a lot of people in here and a lot of characters, and they're interesting. Like, I want to know about them because there's, like, stuff going on that I find intriguing. But I'm like, I guess we just get to see these, like, few weeks, maybe months of their life, and, like, that's it. That's all, like, we're just meant to see, like, a slice of their life, and then we're done. I don't know. It was what a weird, like, what a weird experience. I was watching it and I was like, this is fucking weird. But especially like the first scene, I was like, that's not what I thought it was. I just remember him standing on a roof. Like, what the fuck is this?
I thought I'm so dumb. I thought this was a what was it? Oh, shit. No, I'm
the one with the one Colin with Colin Firth.
What is Julianne Moore?
I did
a
too.
Single man. So I was like, where's Colin Firth? Like, I don't remember him in this garb. I know that was Tom Ford, I believe. And so Tom I was Ford, like, yes. Like, where's his style? Like, it was similar to when I thought Emma Stone was gonna be in The Descendants. I was like, where's Emma Stone? Yeah. I don't understand. This is so confusing.
When I was first looking at the list and I saw A Serious Man, I just thought it was A Single Man because I've seen that movie and it was beautiful, heartbreaking. And then when I started like looking up and making all of the master doc, I was like, oh, this is a different movie. I don't know this movie.
I for too long I was wondering where he was at. Where's my guy Colin Firth? Like, where's my? Oh, he's not coming. This is not that movie.
He's not coming. He was not invited to this party.
I think halfway through when I looked up who the cinematographer was, I was like, oh, because this is a different movie.
Yeah.
That's okay. That's like when I was trying to watch The Hurt Locker and waiting for Jessica Chastain to pop through. That was a mistake.
And didn't A Serious or A Single Man come out like around the same time or something?
I think so. Because Colin Firth is nominated for best.
See, okay.
For leading role.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not totally off base.
Very confusing. And they're both from, like the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God.
But one is about a gay man and one is about a very troubled.
We should have watched that one instead.
I mean, I'm going to watch that one.
Wouldn't it be so funny if I watched A Single Man? I was like, what are you talking about? It was great.
Colin Firth was wonderful.
Oh, my God.
That Julianne Moore sure knows what she's doing.
Or Gina, come on now. What are you talking about, Michael Stuhlbarg? I don't know what you're talking about. Anyways, so I'm stupid at the end.
Yeah, well, we all made the mistake.
I am glad that it wasn't a scary movie though, because I was nervous. Because I was like, "Oh, you said he's dead, but he's knock 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 at your door." No, no. Then she stabbed him, and I was like, "Oh, okay." And then,
such a strange, what? Such a strange. That just whole scene was just like, wow.
And he wasn't bleeding, so it's like he was.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Or whatever, a demon.
He's a ghost.
But then it turned to him and suddenly there was a lot of blood. And I was like, what? I don't know what to think.
Another thing I would have, again, the things that I wish I would have gotten into. You know, his brother. His stuff with his brother. Or even his neighbor, the woman, I don't remember her name.
Something.
There was just so many parts of it that were interesting. But they didn't. Mm-hmm. And also, like, the stuff with his son, like, I was the whole thing with the dollar and the, I just felt so, like, okay. Like, I didn't feel like it mattered or it was important.
Right.
They needed to fill the air, you know? That's what it felt like.
Yeah, it didn't feel like it was really connected to anything, except at the end, like, he gets his dollar back.
And then that's it.
And then the tornado comes.
When I saw them, when it ended, I was
dude,
like,
what the fuck? A tornado?
Apparently based on a real actual event that happened in that
the tornado actually happened.
Yeah, that tornado, like, that's a real tornado.
What do you mean tornadoes are real though?
Yes, like that tornado was historically it happened on that in that place, time period.
What a small specific thing to base a movie on. This is an adaptation of a real event that happened.
In Bloomington, Minnesota, in 1967, there was a tornado.
The meteorologists are like, yes, accurate. Yes, thank you.
Fact check it. Yes. That just, okay, to me, at the very end when I see the tornado, I'm like, oh, are we finally going to get back to the creepy history scene from the beginning? And then it just ended. And I was like, I wanted more from this. And I don't know if that's just because, like, I don't know. I felt like in one way, this movie was a lot. I feel like character-wise, it was a lot. I feel like there's a lot of information here. There's a lot of story here. But at the same time, like, I'm, okay, you got me. I'm hooked. But this feels like, I don't know, like, maybe this was a pilot and there's more. Or I'm missing something. I don't know. Am I just not existential enough for this? Because I feel like I...
You're not.
Yeah, same. I thought I was like, am I stupid? Well, I think all the time, but I was like, oh no. This is... Am I super dumb? Oh no.
No, but I just feel like we...
I'm really glad y'all feel the same way, because I was so nervous.
No, like,
we're going to get it out, and I feel so stupid.
We talk about shit, and we ponder about life, and I'm like, I feel like... Okay, there was this tweet. Oh my God, I have to find it. But it's been going around... and it's like men doing like shrooms or like a psychedelic trip for the first time as adults realize things that 12-year-old girls found out at sleepovers.
That's so funny.
Like, we have more empathy and more like forethought and like interest in life that they don't hit until they're fucking 25, 30.
Point to bring up with this movie, yeah, it's because we're women of an age though, like this feels like, yeah, it's a bit elementary in that regard, I guess.
Yeah,
interesting. Okay, wow.
Which I think the further back we go, the more we're gonna be kind of baffled by these movies.
True.
Because
sorry, go ahead.
No, we're just gonna, it's going to be so different from what we're used to in today.
Which, like, I try, that's why, like, I'm trying to think of it in that context, and I try to think of the rest of these movies in this context. Okay, yes, I'll think of it with my modern brain that's going to, like, critique the shit out of it, because it's not for everyone. But I also try to think of it in the context of, like, okay, so what was out there right now? Like, was this groundbreaking for a man to just, like, live his life, and we see it for 2 hours, and then, wow, a film. Because, like, if I really wanted to break it down, that's kind of what this is. But also, I see that they're, like, making art. There's story here. There's whatever. But I'm just, like, it's just not, like, it's not bad.
Yeah. I think also the Coen brothers are already, like, beloved by this point. So it's kind of like, oh, my God, a new Coen brothers movie. Yes, let's watch it. It's great. You know, it kind of feels like, in that sense, like, it's good, nominate it, because they're them. They are who they are, or whatever.
It already had Raising Arizona, Fargo, The Big Lebowski, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, No Country for Old Men.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they won with that one, I believe. So another one, like, oh, they're high off their win and their accolades. So
yeah. I think Burn After Reading.
So I think, yeah, it's what you say, Joy, about, like, you have to read the room, essentially.
Yeah. Which, like, I loved Macbeth. I loved Macbeth. And that was one of the Coen brothers.
That was,
and,
like, the fact that it wasn't nominated for Best Picture, travesty.
Yeah, the fact that Denzel Washington doesn't have another Oscar for that, travesty.
Everybody should have been nominated for that movie.
How dare you?
What's her name? Oh, my God. Not Florence.
Oh, Catherine.
Fran.
Oh, Frances McDormand.
Thank you. And also Corey Hawkins was phenomenal.
Corey Hawkins
was so good. Catherine Hunter was giving everything. I'll stop.
Cinematography, production design, fucking lighting, like,
literally
everything.
banger after banger.
Yes, 100%. And, like, see, I really love that. And like, the story of Macbeth, I know and I love, and I really appreciate, and I've had many years to appreciate it. And I know that's, like, existential, like, shit. Like, he's, like, pondering his life, like, should he go for it? Should he be ambitious? Or should he just, like, stay where he's at or whatever? And I get it. I see that. But, like, well, this man didn't, he pondered a lot, but, like, it never really went anywhere.
Interestingly enough, Macbeth was only Joel Coen. It wasn't both of them together.
Right.
That's what she said, yeah.
I missed that. Like, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. Well, like, so that's why I'm like, I see the threads of connectivity, like a connection there. And I clearly see it with Inside Llewyn Davis. But like Inside Llewyn Davis, I wasn't also, I mean, Oscar Isaac, beautiful, yeah. But it just.
I'm really surprised you didn't like that, Joy, actually.
I know. Maybe I'll give it another shot once I'm just like unblinded by Oscar's beauty. But I don't know. I don't know if it's, is it me? Am I the problem?
No, it's not.
Yes.
I knew it.
Yes. Well, no, I'm just kidding.
I've also seen Hail Caesar, and I was not super impressed by it.
What is Hail Caesar? Oh, that's with
George Clooney.
Right.
Maybe it's like, okay, so like, Quentin Tarantino, I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Inglourious Basterds, I knew it was great, blah, 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 whatever. Maybe another one of their movies I'll really find quite intriguing.
And more to my liking. I do love O Brother, Where Art Thou?
See, I've wanted to see that for a long time, and I've still never seen it.
And yeah, we like True Grit.
Trigger was great. A little long-winded, but like really great. Whereas this, I feel like we could have had more. It's not often that I'm like, okay, let's make the movie longer. But this one, I'm like, we could have had more.
I kind of feel like it was like the movie version of Go On Boy, Give Us Nothing.
Which is why, like, I hate to say it, Michael Stolberg, he is really great. But in this one, I was like, could there be more? Like, I don't know. That may be controversial, but
any faults of this movie that has, it's definitely not towards Michael Stolberg, I would argue.
Right. It's not the actor's fault.
He performed 100%. What he was given, and he did a good job what he was given.
Yes. And there's some scenes where I was like, oh, okay, I'm seeing it now.
Yeah, I really enjoyed, like, I thought the scene where he was crying on the lawyer's couch was really great. I loved, I thought there were a lot of moments of his that I really enjoyed. Speaking of his lawyer, also loved him for a long time. He's Alan Arkin's son. I did not know.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, and he played a small role in The West Wing. He appeared in a couple of episodes as a therapist. It was really great.
Well, see, like, when he was, who was he with his, I don't know if it was that necessarily that crying scene, or I think it's when he's with one of the rabbis and he's like freaking out and he's like losing his shit finally. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh okay, I see it. But like,
where he's like, what was the point of the story?
Yes.
The teeth.
There, I was like, okay, I'm we're on the same level. I see your acting. Go, boy, give us something. But it was like pockets. It was like moments, even though like everybody else was like, they were doing good with what they were given. I don't know. It's just, why is this movie just a big question mark for me? I don't know. I don't know. I'm going to have to see what everyone else thinks about it, because I'm like, I do think, thank you, Anna, the YouTube explanation helps make it a little bit more sense.
Yeah, but, I recommend that video.
But I don't know. It didn't click with me. It did not.
Me either. I did not enjoy it. Really? It was a weird movie.
It was a weird movie. And I like weird shit, but...
Same.
I don't know.
I'm a weird little movie.
You are. And I love you for it.
Thanks. I had a thought, and I lost it. It's gone.
I mean, I feel like we're just reiterating the same things, honestly. We're just saying, we don't get it.
You know what?
I guess any last notes? I hate to wrap it up early, but like, I guess.
I do love the name and how dramatically it was said. Cy Abelman? Like, that was just drama. Like, that part was great. I love drama. And every time they brought up his name and it was his full name, I was like, this is nice. Yeah. I like this part.
One of my notes, I was like, he shows up to the house? The audacity of this man.
I know. And hugs him
to move out.
And asks him to move out and is like, well, you're going to need to get a lawyer. And like giving him this list of things to do.
And bitch. I think it's because like he knew he could push him around.
Yeah.
That's why he did
because
it.
He's a serious man.
Yeah, I thought like the audacity, but then I was like, oh, it makes sense because they can push him, so they're gonna do it. Right. I have a note. So it's one of the dream sequences when him and his brother are driving all the way to like the border and he's gonna put him in a canoe, right?
Oh my god.
And I was like, wait, were you able to canoe to Canada? Was that a thing? I was like, oh my god, I was about to look it up, and then he woke up, I was like, oh. Got me movie. Dang.
Oh my god.
I mean, it was probably a lot easier to sneak into Canada.
In the 60s? Probably. Well, I guess so, yeah. That's true. I guess it was a long time ago. But I thought, like, wait, they could just canoe into Canada? Oh my god, that's amazing. I seriously was like starting to look things up on my phone, and then he got shot, and then he woke up, and I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my god. See, like, the moments of absurdity were really great and really interesting.
Yeah.
But it just, the level wasn't always there. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. Question mark.
Yeah, me neither. Also, what was the significance of his daughter always washing her hair? Did I miss that? Maybe I didn't. I didn't get it. I don't know.
I don't get it either. I think
for me, it harked back to like that old joke of, I can't do anything tonight. I'm washing my hair. Like,
oh, okay.
And then even towards the end, he was like, my son, he goes to Hebrew school. My children, they go to Hebrew school. My son does. My daughter mostly just washes her hair. I think it was be like just playing on the idea that girls back then were just.
I see. Okay. So it's a joke. It was a joke I didn't get. Okay. Got it. Also, I did look up, I was like, wait, they had, like, earbuds in the 60s? I had no idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, they did. They
looked super uncomfortable.
Yeah. I meant to save the article that I read, but it was like, yeah, they've dated back from even before that. Because they consider, when doctors listen to your heartbeat with the stethoscope, they consider that like a listening device in your ears because that's what it is.
Oh.
And I was like, oh my god. Like, I was like, oh, that's so interesting. So I legit paused the movie to read the article because I was like, this is much more interesting than what's going on over there. But yeah, so they consider those like listening devices back in the day. And they later developed into for, you know, recreational purposes or whatever. But yeah, they had them back in the 60s. Which is very interesting. I had no idea.
Oh, interesting.
I don't know if they were like only like rich families had them or something. I didn't look that up, but who knows? I don't know if they're like as easily available as they are now, like at the gas stations.
Right. I do love that the son thinks like, I'm gonna get a subscription to some records. Like that's his thing to do.
Man, I remember when I was a kid, they had the CD ones, and I was like, I want this. I want CDs coming to my house all the time. Obviously, I couldn't afford it because I was a child, but I was like, oh man, that sounds so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways,
so let's go through some categories. The tape that it is nominated for.
Got it.
Best Picture. What do we think?
I'm gonna say no. Sorry.
I think we all concur.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that even Roger Deakins can't save this one for me. So
fair. And then it was also nominated for original screenplay. It's up against The Hurt Locker, Inglourious Basterds, This Is a Serious Man, Up, and The Messenger.
You know what? It feels original.
It feels original.
Do you know what I mean? And not in a
good way. It feels deeply original. And like, I guess the more I'll see of their films, the more I'll understand that like,
you're out.
Only.
You're out.
Hello?
No, she's not.
Was it?
You're fine.
You hear me? Is it you?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yes. Now I can.
Can you hear us?
You can't hear us?
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. We
can hear you now. Hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yes.
Really?
We've always been able to hear you.
What's going on? Oh, thank you. That's so sweet.
I think your thing was freezing out a little bit.
My whole life is freezing out. Hold on.
Oh my God. Shut up. Oh no, she's gone.
Oh, she really left.
Yes!
Sorry. I'm distracted. Well.
There we go.
This will be a fun one to edit.
Good luck.
What is happening? Sorry.
I don't know.
I don't know. Your thing was like glitchy earlier, but that was like really glitchy.
No, that was just me. I learned how to pop and lock. Ooh, Adam, let's not do that again. Joy, not on the podcast we talked
about. I forgot to mute. I'm sorry.
We're already going to have to cut this out anyway.
Okay, we're okay.
Okay, sorry. Okay. Go original screenplay. It felt original. That's what I was saying.
Yes. Do we think it deserves to be nominated, though?
No, absolutely not.
I agree.
I don't know what would replace it, but I don't think it should be there. And as far as best picture replacement, I really like Julie and Julia. I think that should be there.
Or A Single Man.
Actually, I've never seen that, but it looks gorgeous, so I'm going to say yes.
Let's replace A Serious Man with A Single Man. It'll be better. But yeah.
Maybe they messed up. Maybe it was supposed to be A Single Man.
Just because I love him so much, I wouldn't have minded Michael Stuhlbarg getting a lead actor nom. I feel like he deserves more recognition for what he does.
I'll save my thoughts after the Hurt Locker because Jeremy Renner's in there. But.
Okay, so before we peace out, Joy, did you have something?
No, I'm empty.
Let's do some rankings.
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Every time. I'm sorry.
Whenever we ask you, are you ready? And you're like, yeah, I've got it done. But if we don't ask, it's always, oh, shit.
You know, that's our line at this point. We should just ask her at the top before we start recording, hey, Joy, do you have your rankings? She can say that at the beginning. The time we get there, she can have it. Or, I don't know, you could just be a responsible adult and do it yourself. But whatever, it's fine.
Oh, my God.
Do it when you finish the movie. That's what I do.
No, I don't do that because I sit there and think about the movie. I don't think about the other movies. I think about just that movie. You can only think
of one thing at a time, Anna. It's one track.
Joy.
It's really hard.
I mean, Crystal, go.
Okay, so I'm on different paper, excuse me. So at the bottom, we have The Blind Side. No surprise there. And this is where I have a single man. Or I'm a serious
not Colin
man.
Firth.
I'm sorry. And then I have Precious, Avatar, An Education, Inglourious Basterds, and District 9. And I think a serious man is that low because I feel like Precious had like a beginning and an end and it connected. Like it actually had like a train of thought. and the performances in that movie are phenomenal. It's not just one person, it's everybody. So I think that's why that one is above I almost said it again, a serious man for me.
Yeah. I have number 7, The Blind Side. And then I have Avatar, A Serious Man, and then Precious. And then District 9, An Education, and Inglourious Basterds.
Damn, I can't believe he's still up there at number 1 for
you. I know!
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? I did not think about that going into the season.
That's wild, and I kind of love it.
Yeah, I do. Look at us evolving, growing.
I mean, I know Inglourious Basterds is 2 for me, but it's interchangeable, really. Actually, yeah, An Education, Inglourious Basterds, and District 9, top tier. Really, they can Fight it out.
Okay, I am ready. I have a list.
Had enough time.
No. What is it? 7? The Blind Side? I think 6 is going to be A Serious Man, just because I got a lot of question marks. Am I going in reverse? 5? 5 is Avatar. 4 is Inglourious Basterds. 3 is Precious. 2, An Education, and 1 is District 9. But for the first time ever, I don't think any of these are interchangeable. I think I'm pretty set on this list.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Go for it. Wow.
Not Joy making a decision solid, and you and I are like, ooh, maybe. I don't know.
I know. Weird.
There's something wrong.
Oh,
yeah.
Girl, so many things. Here's a list.
And it's all the cards behind you.
Each one, a problem.
All right, folks, that does it for us this week. We've got a few more before we wrap up this season. See you next time.
Bye. Bye.